Chapter 1. Since many have undertaken to set in order a declaration of those things that are most assuredly believed among us, even as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty of those things in which you have been instructed. That it may be one of the longest sentences in the entire Bible. Basically, this is Luke telling Theophilus the purpose for him writing this book. I don't know who Theophilus is. He was probably a Gentile, maybe a Roman officer of some kind. We also don't know a ton about Luke. He was not an apostle, but definitely was a follower of Christ. I think he was a highly intelligent man. We know he was a physician. We know that he traveled some with Paul on his missionary journeys. We can tell by Luke's writing that he's very detail-oriented. He gives a lot of names and places and just a lot of details. I've been told that there was a guy named Sir William Ramsay who had set about to basically debunk Luke's historical details. But it turns out that he was very impressed with Luke's historical details and said they were very accurate. Of course, we Christians realize that of course Luke's details are very accurate because he was inspired of the Holy Spirit. He was told what to write. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And you can see Abijah's name in 1 Chronicles 24. And his wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So they were both Jews. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. That phrase, commandments and ordinances of the Lord, would refer to the law of Moses, because Jesus hasn't even been born yet, certainly hasn't died yet, so Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been living under the law of Moses. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well advanced in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So he was just doing his priestly duties according to the law of Moses. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there was an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. So he was in the temple doing his job, basically. And here comes an angel and appears before him. You know, if an angel appeared before me, I would be very afraid too. But the angel said to him, "Do not fear, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." So, of course, he's announcing the coming of John the Baptist, which we all know who John the Baptist was. John the Baptist is referred to as Elijah. Not literally, he was not literally Elijah, but he's going to be like Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. John is a prophet. I don't recollect anywhere in any of the gospel accounts of John actually performing any miracles, but we know that he had the Holy Spirit with him, because we're told that, and we know that he definitely had supernatural knowledge, because he was teaching people about the coming of the Christ, the coming of the church, that people needed to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And it does say that he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Now, it doesn't say that he was a Nazarite. He might have been. Don't know. It doesn't say. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he shall turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And you can see some prophecies of John in the Old Testament, one being in Malachi 4, 5, and following. Basically, John is about 6 months older than Jesus. John's job is to prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way. Because the Jews, who are now living under the law of Moses, are going to have a humongous change at this point in time. They're going to have to go from the law of Moses to the law of Christ. That's a huge change. Huge change. And I mean, there's people today who still have not accepted that. They still are trying to live under the law of Moses. Even though the law of Moses was nailed to the cross, we no longer live under the law of Moses. We are not Israelites, and we do not live under the law of Moses. So it's a very, very big change. So John is there to help prepare the hearts of the people, to help change their hearts and their minds from one law to another law. Because it's you know, people don't like change. It's going to be a big, huge deal. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and show you these glad tidings. And behold, you shall be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So Zechariah got a little bit punished because he obviously had some doubts, didn't quite believe what the angel was telling him, and so he was going to be mute until John was born. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he'd remained so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his service were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So his rotation of his priestly duties was over, and he was allowed to return home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." Very, very happy people, especially for Elizabeth. Not so much today, but back then, it was just awful for a woman not to have children. It's still very upsetting for women today if you're told you can't have children. Back then, much worse. It was considered a reproach, even though, you know, it's nobody's fault. But so I know this made Elizabeth very, very happy. And in the 6th month, so Elizabeth is now 6 months pregnant, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in and said to her, "Rejoice, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You are blessed among women." And that's true. Mary is very blessed. I mean, can you imagine being the woman that God picked to bring the Savior into the world? That really says a lot about Mary. Really says a lot about her. But like all humans, she is just a human. She is not to be worshipped. She is not to be prayed to. She is not to be elevated above anybody else. Yes, she's blessed. Yes, she's must have been quite a lady. But, you know, there are those out there who elevate her to the point of worshiping her and praying to her. And that is so inappropriate. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said to her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, of course, we realize that his kingdom is the church. It's not going to be a physical kingdom and physical Jerusalem and a physical throne. there are those out there that are still waiting for that, you know, still expecting that. And the people here in the first century expected that too. It took a lot of teaching to get people to understand that Jesus' kingdom was spiritual, not physical. Then Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I do not know a man?" Now here she is questioning too, but God knows our hearts. So obviously there was a difference between Zechariah doubting and Mary asking her question. I don't know. I mean, obviously there was a difference in attitude, because Mary was not punished like Zechariah was. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." So in other words, Jesus's birth is not going to be the typical, normal, natural way between a man and a woman. Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit used his power, and she was able to have a child, not in the normal way, but in a supernatural way. "And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." So this shows you that that John is 6 months older than Jesus. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And in those days Mary arose and went in a hurry into the hill country, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." So she made a quick trip to see her cousin Elizabeth. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." Just a side note here. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John, and God's word says the baby leaped in her womb. And it says in, here in a couple more sentences, he leaped in her womb for joy. Babies in the womb are human beings. They are life. They are created by God, and they have souls. I don't know what else to say about that. "And she spoke out with a loud voice." Now, right, remember, it just says she was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has given her the ability to speak this announcement. "So she spoke out with a loud voice and said, You are blessed among women, and the fruit of your womb is blessed. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of those things that were told her from the Lord." So she's making an announcement as the Holy Spirit gave her the power to make this statement. "And Mary said," and this is called in God's word, Mary's song, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from now on, all generations shall call me blessed." And that's true. But again, we do not have the authority to elevate Mary to a position where she is worshipped or prayed to. We do not worship any man, and we do not pray to any man. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, I'm thinking when Mary left, Elizabeth must have been just about to pop. Because she was 6 months pregnant when Mary came to her house. She stayed there for 3 months. So that means Elizabeth was 9 months pregnant when Mary left. "Now, Elizabeth's full time came as soon as Mary walked out the door." No, probably not. "That she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her, just like people do today. You know, somebody has a baby, we all celebrate. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, per the law of Moses, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Why? Because the angel told her his name will be called John. And they said to her, there is no one of your family who is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Why are we calling him John? Because the angel of God told us to. And immediately Zechariah's mouth was open and his tongue released, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were widely reported throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those things, and all those who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our father, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which this day spring, which I think that means Christ, from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So again, Holy Spirit came on Zechariah so that Zechariah made this prophecy. He made this announcement about John the Baptist and about Christ. And the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his appearance to Israel. So again, I think John the Baptist probably just grew up like a normal kid, only maybe not quite as normal as other kids, because it sounds like he lived basically out in the desert most of his life. And we know from another account that his diet consisted of locusts and wild honey, and his clothes were odd, and it sounds like he was probably an odd fellow. And that is Luke chapter 1.